Yes, very, very beautiful. Just so touching, so touching. We thank the Holy Spirit for his presence today. So let's just pray over the word. Father, we thank you. We know your word's anointed. But Lord, we need you to anoint our ears and to open up the eyes of our understanding as you speak to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. So welcome once again, everyone that's here today. I wanted to start out with a little illustration. Last week, Apostle Ricky was here and he taught on kingdom living. And he was talking about how he was challenged to say Jesus every second for a minute. And how challenging that could be. And I read this story and I thought this was interesting. It was a Sunday afternoon and a preacher was out driving his car and he was out in the country and he saw a farmer out in his field and he was working very hard and he stopped just to encourage him and bless him. And the farmer was just a little irritated with that. He said, "You preachers have it so easy. All you do is just think about God all the time." And he said, "We're out here in the fields and we're laboring and it's hot." And he said, I can't even afford a fancy car like you've got. And the preacher looked at him and smiled and he said, "Well," he said, "if you can sit down and think about God for just 1 minute, I'll give you my car." And so the preacher, he was all excited that the preacher offered that. And he said, "Okay." And he came in from the field and he wanted to be comfortable under a tree in the shade. And he said, "Sure, go right ahead." And the guy sat down and the preacher started to time him. And in 30 seconds, he looked at the preacher and he said, "Does that car come with insurance?" He didn't make it for a minute. Have you ever found your mind just wandering? Yes, you can be reading the Bible and you're thinking about something else. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, so today we're going to try and stay focused, right? Concentrate on the Word of God. Apostle Ricky did talk last week about the mysteries of God. And I wanted to go over that, just cover some of that this morning. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Psalms 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And a couple years ago, we spent a lot of time on how the Bible identifies us as kings and priests. And so everyone you're sitting next to is a king and a priest. That's what the Lord calls us. So when Jesus came on the earth, he preached only one message. Matthew 4:17 says, "And from that time forward, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived.'" The kingdom of heaven is accessible right now, was the message that Jesus preached. The Greek word metanoia means to change one's mind or to turn around. It emphasizes a shift in perspective and attitude to think differently. Most people are trained to think the kingdom of heaven is yet to come. And that's their perspective. But what Jesus preached and came into the world to preach was the kingdom of heaven is with us right now. And Jesus was very specific, though. The kingdom of heaven isn't of this world. Let's look at that. In John 18:36-37, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. It's not from this world, but it is more real than the world that we're living in right now. So Jesus' kingdom isn't physical. It's not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom that transcends all worldly power and authority. You see, Jesus is the king of his kingdom. And he wasn't voted in by anyone. and he cannot be voted out. The world is constantly trying to vote him out. But he's not going anywhere because he was born a king. Whoever rules a kingdom is born to rule that kingdom. Even in the earthly realm, there's a royal family. And we live in a democracy. And we are so wired and trained to think democratically that it is difficult for us to shift, to repent, to change our way of thinking, to change our attitude, to understand the message that Jesus was bringing is that the kingdom of heaven is right now. It's accessible to everyone. In verse 37, Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus was born a king, and Jesus came into the world, catch this, to recover what Adam had lost. Let's look at what Adam lost. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, the scripture says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man. And that word man, it simply means mankind. It's neither gender. It's not male nor it's female or female. It is mankind. And he created them, or he created man in his own image. And he made man in his own image. So we're going to take a look at those two words, because I just want to read to you from one of my commentaries. This is very interesting. Man was both created and made. Both of these words are important and distinctively different in the original Hebrew language. The word created is from the word bara, which means to create from nothing. And the word make is from the Hebrew word asa, which means to form from something that is already created. So man was made from nothing, and he was made from something already created. Therefore, man is the integration of parts that were created from nothing and things that were already made. This mystery describes the production of man's spirit being directly from the Spirit of God, thus making man a composite of the nature, attributes, and characteristics of his source, which is God, the Creator himself. This truth is critical when discussing the spirit of dominion in mankind. God created us to rule. He created us to rule and to reign in this earth. That's why it's inside everyone not to be ruled or reigned over. Have you ever noticed that? You don't like to be told what to do. Is that right? That's the way we all are. That's how God created us, to take dominion. But did you notice what he said we had dominion over? Fish. We do not have dominion over any other person. So when we're living in the kingdom of God, everybody is free to be who God designed them to be. God has a design for your life. And when we come together as the church of Jesus Christ, we should look like the kingdom. And we should be encouraging one another to become everything God called them to be. Because their plan and his purpose for their life is going to be different. We are not in competition. We are here to promote the kingdom of God. And when people come among us, they should know we're different because we live differently, we treat people differently, we respect people differently, and we want to encourage each person to find out what they were created to do, what God has put into their heart, the talents, the treasures that are inside of them, and see them grow and become everything God has called them to be. Because God is our source. And it's also very interesting to know that the Hebrew word for source is actually the word Abba. He is our Abba, Father. He is our source. He's the source of everything we need. And it's very interesting because if you're out in the culture and you're talking to people, people are talking about the source. The source is the Lord God Almighty. They may not be aware of that at this very moment, or maybe they are, and you just think they're not, because they're much more spiritual and much more connected than what you ever thought they would, because the church has a tendency to judge everybody that's out in the world and judge them as less than us. And they know that, and they sense that, and we must stop that as a church. Recognizing God is our source. He's our source if you're saved or if you're unsaved. Do you hear me? And the source is always working in people's hearts and lives to draw them to him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you catching the mysteries of the kingdom this morning? The kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Because God sourced us all. He is the father of mankind. Some theologians translate that as the spirit species. We're the spirit species. We're the only species that was created with spirit. Is that right? Yes. And he sourced us all. And we possess his nature and his likeness. So verse 28 in Genesis, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And hallelujah. We're so excited to hear Jordan and Osiris expecting another baby. That is so exciting. Yes. Thank you, Lord. They're obeying what God said. Be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth. And then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to subdue it. Why? Because God gave us dominion. And what God has designed you to do is going to subdue some portion of his plan in the earth. Because the kingdom of God takes dominion over everything. It rules over everything. Hallelujah. And once again, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So Adam was given dominion over the earth by God. He received delegated authority. He was supposed to steward what belonged to God and recognize anything that we have belongs to God. We are simply stewards of what he has given us. It is not ours. And you know what? If he wants to give something to someone, if he wants to bless them with $1 million, God can just do that because he's God. And you know what our response is supposed to be? Yes, Lord. You know, whatever the king wants to do, whatever the Lord wants to do, that is what he should do. And our obligation is to say, yes, Lord. We don't have an opinion. And that is very difficult for Americans because Americans are so opinionated. But in the kingdom of God, you don't get to have an opinion. Because what the king says rules over us. And we come under the word and the voice and the command of the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is our Abba Father and is always looking out for our good and and for what's best for us. Amen. Amen. Nate, why don't you share with the church what just happened with you? Yes, it's a kingdom thing. Give the Lord a praise. We stress over so much that our Father has already taken care of. And if we're not kingdom focused and we're not focused on Abba Father and we're trying to do everything ourselves, we're going to miss the blessing and the benefits of having Abba Father in our life. Our source already has what we need because our source planned for everyone's birth, created every single person, put talents and gifts on the inside of them. The scripture says he's given us ability to make wealth to establish his covenant here in the earth. How did that happen with Nate and Caitlin? It's God. It's God. You get in the right place, in the right alignment with the Lord God Almighty, and he brings everything you need right to you. We want to go looking for it. We want to make it happen. But God will keep putting you in situations until you learn that he is your source. He is your provider. He is Abba Father, Father of all, over every circumstance. Over every situation, God comes through. Woo! I was so excited when he told me that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So when Adam sinned, he actually lost dominion. And Jesus came to take back what was lost and usher into the earth realm once again, the kingdom of God. Is it making sense? Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus came to restore kingdom rulership on the earth. The kingdom of heaven is among you is a translation from the Greek. And among you is a common translation, but it's also translated, it's within you or in your midst. The meaning is that the kingdom of God is not a distant future event or physical place, but rather a present reality. And it's embodied in Jesus' teachings. It's also understood to be the transformative power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit within believers. So every day in the kingdom is a good day, regardless of what is going on in the world. There are no bad days in the kingdom of God. And no matter how much unrest is going on in the world, the kingdom of God remains stable. It cannot be moved. Our governments are shaky. They're not necessarily trustworthy. And the global economy is pretty unpredictable. Is that right? But God's government is firmly established. And it's from eternity past. And it is the government for eternity future. We're safe. We're secure. And we live in an unshakable kingdom is what the scripture says. It's unshakable. It's a right now thing, and it's unshakable. Thank you, Jesus. And the reason it's unshakable is because it has been founded on eternal principles. They're eternal in the heavens. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word is going to remain forever. So mankind has tried all kinds of ways to relieve fear, pain, suffering, and because there's so much that goes on in this world, in our lives, and they have done that mainly with religion. There are all kinds of religions. They're all trying to do the same thing. Really fear, pain, suffering, and worship something, because we're all made to worship. We're all made to worship because God made us. So religion can be defined as man's attempt to discover God and find solutions to his own problems. He's trying to find God to find solutions to his own problems. But God didn't send religion. He sent us his kingdom. And his kingdom is eternal and unshakable. God's kingdom came to earth through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, who preached the kingdom and who is the way into the kingdom. So Christ did not come to the earth to start a religion. Who opposed Jesus Christ the most? The religious people. And he wouldn't answer their questions. Have you noticed that in scripture? He handled that very well. And I think that's interesting, because as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we don't have an opinion, and there are questions we shouldn't be answering. Once again, I'm back to, we can be so opinionated to people, and we're so quick to give people our opinions, but we are not to have an opinion about many of the things going on. Now, we can state our government's position on the matter, but when you're an ambassador, you don't have an opinion. You follow the constitution of that country. Does that make sense? Our constitution is the Bible and the Word of God. And as representatives of the kingdom of God, it's really important that we say, well, I really don't have an opinion on that matter. I'm an ambassador of another country. But I can state you my government's position on that. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus was very quick to do that. He would give them the position or what the government said about it, the kingdom government, but Jesus never had an opinion. Now his disciples had lots of opinions. What are we going to eat for lunch? It's food, food, food. We're always thinking about food. Got here this morning, had donuts, met Paula. I said, hey, we were like eating good treats yesterday. And here we are again. It's food, food, food. People think a lot about food. Hallelujah, it's okay. As long as you don't put it before the kingdom of God, right? But Christ didn't come to start a religion. He didn't come to start a religious organization. And he didn't come to start a social club. He came to preach the kingdom. And that was the only message he preached. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom rulership on earth through mankind and to return to administrations of God's kingdom on earth to God's earthly kings. So when he came to establish the kingdom and give us back the dominion as earthly kings to rule and to reign in the earth realm. And so just a little help here. Many of you probably know this, but there are some things that all kingdoms have. All kingdoms have a king and a lord that is sovereign. They make all the rules. They make all the laws. They have a territory. And they have dominion over that territory, which means they own everything in that territory, including the citizens. The word says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that is within it. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. The Lord owns us and everything that is in this world. It always has a constitution, some type of royal covenant. Our constitution is the Bible. It has citizens. We are citizens from another kingdom. We've heard this many times taught here. We're citizens of heaven. We are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. It has laws. It has acceptable principles. It has privileges, rights, and benefits. It has a code of ethics, acceptable lifestyle and conduct. It has an army for security. God has an army, an angel army, the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. It's a social culture. It has a social culture. And that's the protocols and the procedures. And this is the environment created by the life and manners of the king and his citizens. The culture expresses the nature of the king through the lifestyle of the citizens. Last week, Apostle Ricky taught on kingdom living. There's a way to live in the kingdom. We don't make up the rules. We love to make up rules, don't we? But we don't make those up. God's already got them set for us. And it's a commonwealth. There's an economic security. The word is used because in a kingdom, the king's desire is that all his citizens share and benefit from the wealth of the kingdom. That's God's heart. God is the only one that can establish a kingdom where everything is distributed the way it needs to be. You know, man has tried to do this a lot of time, but in the kingdom of God, God's heart is that everybody benefits from the wealth in the kingdom. And the kingdom's glory is the happiness and the health of all of its citizens. So we're not going to finish all of this lesson today, but I do want to cover this, how to seek the kingdom. Let's read Matthew 6, 31 through 34. And maybe to stay awake, you should read it with me. Okay. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or after all these things the Gentiles seek. For the Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, this is a command. And this is God's priority. This is a command. This is not just a casual, oh, if you want to, seek first. No, it's a command. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So seek first typically refers to the biblical principle in Matthew 6:33, which encourages prioritizing God's kingdom and righteousness above everything else. And that means your relationship with God and aligning with God's will and trusting him for provision and guidance is at the top of the list. And so let me tell you what this word seek means. He said seek first. So we're going to seek. It means pursue. Pursue after the kingdom of God and understanding the mystery of the kingdom of God. It means to study. When you're seeking, you're going to study. Study about the kingdom of God and explore. Learn everything you can about the government of God. All of the principles and the precepts and the concepts. If our thinking is not right, then our decisions will not be in alignment with God's will. Understand. Understand the devil's greatest fear. He doesn't mind if you study faith. He doesn't mind if you talk about baptism. He doesn't mind if you're kind to other people. But what his greatest fear is that you'll understand the revelation and the message of the kingdom of God. That it is right now, right here in our lives, and we can access everything that God has for us. And there isn't one detail that God has left out. And he knows he's in trouble when you get that figured out. We have to learn. Seek means to consider. It means to meditate on. Meditate on the kingdom of God. Meditate on what he's saying to you. I was so blessed this morning. One of my friends came in and said, God told me this morning that he has my back. And they've had a horrific week. But God has their back. That's our king. That's the kingdom that we live in. He has our back. And desire, it means to seek, to desire to know. And we're supposed to do all of that first. Pursue the kingdom. Study the kingdom. Explore the kingdom. Understand the kingdom. Learn the kingdom. Consider the kingdom. Desire the kingdom. It's all about kingdom. Jesus came preaching what? One message. And what was it on? The kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. You've got to change your mind. You've got to change your precepts. You've got to change how you think. You have to change how you go about life if you're going to understand the kingdom of God. It's totally contrary to what we're taught in Western culture. Totally contrary. And then he used the word first. These are the first things that God wants us to do. We're supposed to pursue it first. It's God's priority. You don't have to go home today and pray about God's priority. Because we already know what God's priority is. It's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is aligning with God's will. Getting in tune with God. It is following what he's asking us to do. It's obeying his command. And first means first. It's a priority. It comes first before everybody else. It's the most important thing. It has the highest value. It's above everything else. It is primary. In this season, hear what I say. The kingdom of God is the primary message and mystery the church must grasp a hold of to demonstrate in this world. You seek, and God will add to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that he knows we need is going to be added unto us. Does anybody have any needs this morning? Hallelujah, we've got needs. So we act on the word of God. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. We're to value the kingdom. We're to value the kingdom. And next week, we'll get into the parable of the sower, because it highlights a lot of these points. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, for your revelation and your understanding, and that Holy Spirit continues to teach each one of us, Lord, during this week. Lord, we desire to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and Lord, we know that all other things will be added unto us in Jesus' name. Because you know what? It is the king's responsibility to take care of that. It's the king's responsibility to take care of his citizens. Are you a citizen of heaven? Yes, we are citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. And so it is the king's responsibility. We do our part. You don't just sit home and just think that just osmosis, you're going to get this. You got to get in the word, because the word is power. The word is life. The word will begin to jump off the page at you, and you're going to know what to do. He'll give you the wisdom to know what to do, and just connects you with people who will take care of you and help you. We all need help. We all need help in one way or another. Help us, Lord. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Have you said that a few times this week? Yes. Yes. It's wonderful to be able to call on the Lord. So we are getting ready to sow into the kingdom of God. You know, there's an economic system in the kingdom, and that's tithes and offerings. And so, you know, religion will be forceful, twist your arm to give. God's not that way. We give because we love the Lord. When you love the Lord, you just want to sow into the kingdom. And so we thank God for the offerings that have been brought today. If you need an envelope or anything, if you just raise your hand, ushers are here to serve you. And if not, I mean, most of you purpose in your heart what you're going to give. A lot of you give online, and all of that comes into the kingdom of God to continue the work that we do. And we're excited. You know, it is God's responsibility to bring us a building. And when he's ready, he's gonna bring it. We don't have to stress about it. Don't have to be upset about it. We just want to enjoy where we're at. Enjoy our provision right now. When Apostle Ricky was here last week, his mom owns a really large building in Korea. And when we picked our stuff up and walked out, he goes, "Wow, it's really nice just to walk out." Because he knows all about closing up the building. All of our teams that closed up the building for years. Pastor Cheryl and I were talking about that this week. Praise God. He's given us a rest. Enjoy your rest. We don't know how long he'll let us rest. Hallelujah. But we're trusting him, because we're in his kingdom. We're kingdom people. So let's lift our offerings to the Lord. Father, we thank you for these offerings and tithes, Lord, that have been brought into your house, Lord. They are holy to you. Your word says they are holy to you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring them today, Lord, in honor of you and in worship of you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.